topic, please.
All right. My name is John, and I am a recovered alcoholic and also on a path of discovery in recovery. So, all right. So this subject, wow, it's got a, pretty involved, and trying to put it in order is a challenge. Emotional sobriety. Now, first thing I asked myself, well, what does it mean to be sober? Okay, because I know that stopping drinking is just the elimination of drinking is but a beginning. Okay, but to be sober is, I can distill it into one sentence for me means to have my wits about me. Okay, so that means I'm able to make calm, rational decisions. Intelligent decisions, conduct myself well. I found that, let's start at the beginning. When I got to AA, my higher power struck me sober that day, and I had never desired to drink after that. However, if one was to read page 52 about the de bedevilments, gosh, I had them just like so I understand that this whole process is a journey. It's just not a one and done deal on any level. Brings to mind a little story of a new guy who goes into an AA meeting, and he goes up to this old timer and he says, "Hey, by the way, how long do I have to keep coming to these meetings?" The old timer looks at him. He says, "Well, when you get a letter from AA saying you don't have to come anymore, you're good." So I always loved that story. Anyway, so basically, yes, I was recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body concerning alcohol. I know that this is just the beginning and that there is a process there. I remember in a meeting once, a woman got up and she said, "I know this guy 20 years sober. He was sponsoring, he was doing this, he was doing that, blah, blah, blah. And he drank. I'd give $1 million to figure out what happened." And the other woman said, "Well, he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. Where's my $1 million?" So, so this is, like I say, it's a process. I look at it from my own journey as there's an escalator, and it's going down, right? And I'm on this escalator trying to go up. If I don't keep moving, I'm going to wind up in the basement. And if I just putz along, I'm not going to get anywhere. So if I really want to make progress, I have to enlarge my spiritual life as much as I can and help others. There's, as far as spiritual, emotional sobriety, even Bill Wilson, whom one would say or assume had the program pretty well down. He had suffered from this depression for quite a while, and he found for himself that codependency was a big factor in that. So there is one notable expert in the field of recovery named Tommy Rosen. I don't know if you guys heard about him or not. But he feels that codependency is at the root of all addictions. Let's see, hold on here. I don't know. Something happened to my computer. Hang in there. Okay. I don't know what this is. Okay. Yeah, just my computer just did something really strange. Okay, so There are a number of things that I know can keep me emotionally in a state of emotional unsobriety. I mean, there could be past experiences, things way back in our childhood, and some believe even further back than that, traumas throughout our lives, an association with shame-based organizations. That keep us in a state of feeling less than. And when somebody feels less than, it's kind of hard to thrive in our sobriety if we're always thinking poorly of ourselves. I know that's the case with me. It also could be chemical. And that's another thing that I was mentioned to me. And it also, for me, I think fear had a big part in it. Fear, that corrosive thread, it is something that I had, I guess, even though I was raised in a very, very religious household, to the point of, well, I won't go into that, but I always had a heavy dose of agnosticism. Okay, and I remember another story of a woman said that there was a blind man. He's holding on to a seeing eye dog, and he has the complete confidence that this dog isn't going to walk him into a bus. I felt ashamed at that because here I have a higher power, all power, I believe, all loving. He is love as far as I'm concerned. It is, and looking out for my back, and yet why should I fear? So this is something that I've always wondered about, and I have been working on it, and I've been testing it over the period of time, that whenever something comes up and I'm fearful about it, I have to walk myself back and say, okay, I have my higher power. He loves me. He's going to take care of me. I'm going to put it in his hands. Say, okay, God, it's yours. I'm done with it. And to my amazement, I should not have been amazed, but to my amazement, things usually worked out better than I could have imagined. In fact, even today, there was a situation where there was supposed to be something done. And, it had the potential of getting ugly. And I said to myself again, walked it back if I was feeling fearful. Okay, God, higher power, my friend, take this. I don't want it. It's above my pay grade. Well, it not only resolved without me doing much of anything, but worked out better again than I could have imagined. So, this thing of fear holding me back from being emotionally sober and living my best life in sobriety, thriving in sobriety, this is the process. And what gets in the way, kind of, for me, is being human. And I got to give myself a little bit of slack here because I am human. I am never going to be perfect, but I know that if I keep at it and don't take halfway measures and don't rest on my laurels, things will get better. And over the past years, they have gotten better. I know when I first got sober, I was in these bedevilments for about, I would say, 7 years. I'm a little over 10 now. And boy, I had the bedevilments. And my wife had gotten, Denise, who's here, she had gotten involved with a BBA. And I noticed a change in her. And I said, I want this. So, what do I got to do to get this? So, she hooked me up with Vinny. Best thing ever happened. We went through the first 164 pages. And of course, it wasn't, there was a lot of conversation and and fellowship, but it took us about 14 months to get through it. And during the fifth step, I did have the spiritual experience that I really was looking for. And it was a big step toward emotional sobriety for me, because all through that time, up to that time, I'm saying, "Hey, Vinny, what's it like? I don't even know what to expect. I heard of Bill Wilson's and blah blah blah. Just and he and then I said, I don't feel anything." He says, "John, I noticed a change in you from the time we started." Sure enough, during the fifth step, I had a profound spiritual experience, and I didn't need anybody. I didn't need to question anybody if I had one or not. It was evident. And so, yeah, this journey of spiritual or emotional sobriety, it's a spiritual path. I know that all my problems will be straightened out if I straighten out my spiritual life. And I know that the one thing that will ensure my permanent sobriety is working, is intensive work with another alcoholic. That is the main thing. That is the thing that gives me one of the greatest joys in my life. It is the greatest high in my life. And I don't throw up in the morning afterward. Wonderful. So, let's see what time it is. This is a journey. And I know that for myself, I have to give myself breaks, but not let up, not take it for granted, take my sobriety for granted, take my relationships with other people for granted. I know that I have to treat people well, because if I want to not feel less than, if I want to feel like I'm worthy of something, if I want to feel esteemable, I have to do esteemable things. And if I do esteemable things and help others and treat people right, I'll feel better about myself. And voila, spiritual sobriety. Bingo. Okay, that's about all I've got. Thanks for letting me talk today.
Thank you,
Thank
John.
you,
Thanks. Thanks for opening us up. Okay, we'll now open the meeting for sharing and for questions to anyone from anyone. Let me figure out how to turn off the record. Hold on a minute.